may I have a call roll, please? Here. Here.
Anthony Broderick.
Present.
Derek Mendez.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Lamont Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. Next up is approval of minutes from last month, April 10th, 2019. Is there a motion to approve, modify, change? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Be there or none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? They're out there to read. Next up is Chairman. That's still me. Those minutes, along with audio of all of our meetings, are on the website. Sign up over there. You get email stuff as well. We'll be one of the few groups that you find in this part of the state of Indiana that has everything up to date and takes pride in making sure that things that we do are on the website for everybody that lives in our community to see. please, again, look at my board that Mrs. Lambert was so nice to do when she came on board all of those years ago. What happens when a $275 million man-made project is not maintained? There's a lot of work to be done. You'll hear some things again that we're still working on issues from the original design. Those are ongoing challenges, not to mention decades of deferred maintenance. It's important that we understand that water knows no geopolitical boundaries. If you don't pay attention to the big picture, things that happen. And we might at some point have to get some new pictures of that, but I think it proves the point that what we're here for is to make sure that the community is protected the best that we possibly can when you're dealing with Mother Nature. As we saw over here the last couple of weeks, and Dan, I'll get into it later, when you start getting close to 10 gallons of water for your 5-gallon bucket, there's some concerns to be had. We're far better prepared for that today than we were prior to September 2008, to which everybody in this room should be proud. But we're not going to rest on our laurels because this is an ongoing thing. Enough of that. Next is the finance report and the approval of the claims. Need a motion to do this?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the claims for May of 2019 in the amount of $1,065,903.74.
Second.
Motion and a second. All right. Discussion. I'm sorry. Mr. Repe.
I will go through the claims, and it's a lot of money. It results in probably three or four quite large sums of money, and we'll outline those, the first being IHC Construction Companies for $431,607.32. That is for the bridge over Deep River just to the north of Ridge Road in Hobart. That project is now in its final stretch to be completed. They're excavating the material, and they're going to start knocking out the old bridge that is currently there. So we're hoping for a finish on June 1st and get out of there so that Hobart can utilize their park again, and we can see the advantages of opening that up from, I believe it was 60 feet to now 120 feet of open space so that can get through, and Duck Creek can be relieved a little bit better. Ellis Construction for $283,278, that's for the Harrison Street Bridge, with a change order of $34,000, I believe, $35,672. That's included in that number. That's for the extra time for traffic management at that location. That is still not on schedule. It's going to be completed in the summer, August, September, barring any weather. Because it's one of the lower areas, it's very susceptible to the high water rain events, such as the one that we had last week. Garib Construction for $155,821. They're in the process of putting up the Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge. They have poured and they have driven the piles. They're building up the forms, and I suspect they will have placement of that bridge soon, and then there will be some other work that needs to be done, grading of the trail. It has been in a little bit of deterioration, so that now you'll be able to cross from Gary North to Gary South. It used to be, when there used to be a crossing there before it was removed in 2000, and I believe it was 12. So that is the amount of $155,821. U.S. Geological Survey for $24,000. That's our quarterly payment for all the gauges that we have that are on our website. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance for $16,918. Pump Station Inspection and Maintenance. They did their normal once over for the year, cleaning out all the interior trash racks and such. $32,000 for Patrick for construction management of the bridge over Deep River. And then there's some smaller ones. If you have any questions about them particularly, I'd be happy to go over them.
All right, good segue. Any questions for Mr. Repe on some of this?
I have a question. The change order for Alice Construction, mm-hmm. the $35,356, that's all for traffic management?
Not all of it for traffic management. Most of it is for the traffic management part of it. There's some ancillary costs, which I can find here really quick.
But most of it's traffic management, though?
Correct, because what had happened was when we bid it out and awarded it, they started to demolish the bridge. At a point, NIPSCO changed their mind as to the utility location and how they wanted to do it, and so it caused us to delay it for a few months, quite honestly.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't have the background.
That's okay.
I was about to ask Commissioner Whitaker how much traffic there is at Harrison.
There's quite a bit, I will tell you. We get phone calls as to when that's going to open. And that's not only from residents, but also police and fire.
Yeah, it's a pretty substantial amount of traffic. Of course, bad being next to the university, and then that's right. The point where it converges at from Jefferson Street and
Grant.
Kind of halfway. That's the converge point, yeah, from Buchanan or Pearson and Sheer Jefferson. So is it a possibility that they can expedite it, I guess, and conclude by hopefully before school year starts?
That's what we've already told them, that, you know, yeah. IUN starts, I believe it's August 15th, I believe, was the date that I had heard. So that would be important for that, because that is a well-traveled for the back roads to get into IUN.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Repe? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Lutke.
Yes.
Tom Bethany.
Yes.
Anthony Rodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Paying the bills, yes. All right, moving right along. Executive Director's Report / Project Tracker, Mr. Repe.
We'll wait for the rain situation or the outbrief of that at the end, but currently we're going through our inspections that we go through annually. 2 weeks ago we did the pump stations for Hammond, Munster, and Highland, and now we're doing the gates, the actual sluice gates and the and the levee itself. All the gates have been completed. We did Munster on Monday. We did Highland on Tuesday. Hammond's today and probably tomorrow, although tomorrow may be a rain day, so we may have to push it to Friday. All the gates have been done in Hammond, so we've completed everything from Klein Avenue all the way to the state line. So far, no major issues. One small issue, although it could be considered major, is the gate at just off of Northcott is now stuck in the closed position. So if you know that little bike trail that runs and there's a little pond in front of it, it's stuck closed. So we need to work on that tomorrow and see if we can't get that unjammed. It's not anything that's a forced main, so it's not out of a pump station, so it's not going to cause us any great harm, but it's something that we need to address. But other than that, all the gates seem to function well, up and down, no issues, and no serious complaints as far as that I received from Yuki, who is in charge of the inspection. She would tell me if there was something catastrophic or something serious that we really, really need to be made aware of. So those are going on. So I've been putting a lot of steps on the pedometer here, and it's good for my waistline. So other than that, that's a plus that's going on. The next phase of these inspections will start, I believe it's June 10th. We start in Marshalltown, and we start working our way back to the west. And so that will be 4 or 5 days of levee inspection of Gary North, Gary South, Marshalltown, Burr Street, and then Griffith Levee as well. So that's in June, which will be right about the same time as our meeting date, I believe, next month. So there's no issues that seem to be a problem. We're looking forward. Our pump stations are in order. The gates should all be in order. And the levee, we don't have any serious issues that we're aware of. We just had to go and patrol those last week, so we're not aware of any major issue. We're going through some acquisitions, as always, for those 30 parcels that the Army Corps has asked us to do. We have some acceptances. We have some issues with some of the landowners. The title is under their parents or someone else. We may have to have some condemnation action, and we're working with the municipality of the city of Gary and their park department to get some of their properties as well. The bridge over Deep River, as I mentioned, we're looking to get out of there by June 1st. There's a little bit of, you know, we've got a deadline of May 23rd where the contractor cannot work in the channel anything past May 23rd because of fish season, and we're already given a extension from the April 1 deadline. So
fish season.
Well, we want to make sure they get up and down the stream and they do what they got to do.
It's not a schmelt fry.
No, it's Mother Nature, and so they want to make sure that they get out of there by that time. We've instructed the contractor that that is not a soft date, that is a hard date, that they must get out of there. So with the rain, it did cause them some delay out there. We are experiencing some slight overage because of the management process of that, but the project itself is less than 1% over the awarded price amount, and we have been working with the city of Hobart to get this done so they can get their park back, because we're using their parking lot as a staging area, or at least most of their parking lot as a staging area.
A big fan of hope for the best, plan for the worst. What if they're not able to get out of that channel by the time the fish season or whatever you're calling it? What happens?
That wasn't an option that we gave them. They got to figure it out, and they know that. And if it requires working on Saturdays and Sundays, that's what they're going to have to do. It's just something that just is not an option to do. We will not get another extension. They will, I think, have to be restricted then to July 1st, and I told them that's just not going to work for us. They're well aware, and it's in writing to your fancy, that is not something that we want to pursue, and they understand that.
And 2 weeks.
Correct. So, and they talked about double handling material. We understand that, but that's something that they've known about, and we help them achieve and get that extension, which doesn't happen all that often. So, especially for that duration, they were supposed to, you know, technically it's April 1 to July 1, so we extended it April 1 to May 23rd based on their schedule. And I told them that you give me what you ask for one time. We're not going to go back and forth. It's not something that is successful. So Lake Station Levee, I think it was Harrison already. We've talked about Harrison. It's behind what we had hoped for when we awarded it in, I believe it was August of last year. But there was that situation with the utility. We're trying to work through it. We know its importance to the city and the university, and certainly for us for flood protection. It's one of our early closures in the city of Gary that we need to get closed up and not exposed anymore. Lake Station Levee, we're designing it. There is a change order on the agenda for that amount, for $167,000, and the reason being, and we've discussed this with them, the initial scope of the work was for landside drainage of between 80 and 100 acres. After further review, and as they were peeling the onion further back, they noticed that basically 1 square mile of Lake Station drains through 2 or 3 culverts in that same area. They're all gravity fed, so we would be able to protect the residents from from the river itself, but you wouldn't be able to protect them from the water that is trying to get to the river. And that's a problem as it is right now, and it's something that we definitely need to correct. At the end of this, at the end of this design, we will have decisions to make as to how far back we need to correct the infrastructure for the city of Lake Station. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I don't know what the cost of that would be. But as I said, it's all gravity fed as it sits now. I've been back there. I don't live there, certainly. But I know it's a common occurrence, and many times it gets backed up in people's basements. And, you know, anyone that's experienced water in their basements, no fun, whether it's your sump pump going out or otherwise. So it's something that, on the long term, we've always identified as being an issue that we needed to do this. We needed to do this project, and we can only go forward. And so the work right now that they're looking to extend are, of course, more surveying work, more borings that have to be, in more analysis of actually to confirm the sewers where they are and where they're not. So
are those combined sewers or those ditches in the neighborhood?
A combination. Open. Our understanding is it's open ditches, combination sewers, water, simple.
All the bad stuff, no good stuff.
I really don't have much good news for you today.
So you say we need to do that project. Did we? I mean,
well,
don't hear this the wrong way. Did we cause that, or I mean, this is something we want to do. I just want to be clear about
it's something. It's something that some believe that the Little Cal project, the federal project that we are part of, impacted, because at that point, or just to the north of that point, is where the confluence of Little Cal and Deep River meet. Yeah. So anytime, it's sort of like when we go onto expressway and you go merge from two lanes to one lane.
Right.
That's what this is. And so everyone backs up a little bit. And in this case, it backs up, someone didn't go to stuff.
A lot.
It backs up into the neighborhood.
Homes.
And then for the component of the Little Calumet River, it backs up into where we store water, which was accounted for as a part of the project, but it doesn't account for the backup on Deep River. So that's why I say, when I say need to, is from that standpoint, it's a problem. It's a consistent problem.
Who's grown up or has lived here any amount of time knows that area right through there by Interstate, Lake Station, New Chicago, all that is constantly an issue. So
yeah, I believe they lost over 200 structures in 08. And, you know, right now, you know, I'm imagining it's not right for development if you're going to get there and want to be flooded. So the folks that are there now are still feeling the effects of what's going on there. So paving contracts in the Gatewell, you approved them last month pending legal and engineering review. They both passed review, and we issued both the notice to proceed on all those contracts. Those should begin by June 1st. The pedestrian bridge, as I mentioned in the claims, you know, the piles have been driven, and you know, they're building up around it, the approaches. They'll also do some work for the actual trail itself, because it's been chewed up a little bit, and we hope that will be up and functioning here. Gosh, I want to say I would hope that it would be by the time I come here in June, but they were also impacted by the high water level, because Chase Street, as you know, is one of our lower areas. That's why we built up 35th the way we did, so it was a little bit difficult for them to get in there on some occasions. So,
you're still thinking June now to be done?
I'm hopeful. I haven't been given a hard thing, but they said that was what their goal was looking like.
Is that planning? Is that hoping for the best or planning for the worst?
That's hoping for the best.
So July.
Don't say that.
All right.
Be an optimist.
Half full.
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, we could talk briefly. I'll talk briefly about the rain situation. You know, everyone wants to compare to 08. You'll never compare to 08. You can't compare to 12, and you're not going to compare to 18. They're all different circumstances and situations. This one, You know, most for the most part, someone said we had 6.5 inches. Different people's rain gauges had different things. All I know is we act based on what the water level says in the river. If it rains 10 inches and it gets to that point, if it rains 2, I have to get to that point. We made sure that everything is clear for the most part. We had a couple situations at Kennedy Avenue where some trees had come down. We have no idea where they came from because we've pretty much cleared most of the trees. And we had to pick them out during, one was Monday afternoon, and I think the other one was Wednesday afternoon. No other major issues as far as blockages. We had a couple, we had a off levee issue off of Georgia Street near Virginia that we cleared, but we wanted to make sure we cleared it, but then it was not backflowing. We had no situations of backflowing this year as compared to 18, which meaning we didn't have to drive down any gates that water was coming from the river back in here, except for one situation in Highland, which was by Wicker Park, where we had a boil that developed. And that was found by the town engineer, John Bach, who, as a part of our protocol, when it gets up to a certain level, we monitor the levee. So we're driving the levee, and you're looking for situations. You're looking for that water coming from the river to the back.
Explain what a boil is, please.
It's water making it from the river underneath the levee.
Earthen levee.
In this case, I guess we had some with the wall in 18, but this one was the first that I've ever experienced where it's gone underneath the earthen levee and out into just open land. It was 30 feet out from the toe of the levee. So
on the land side.
So it's like...
Tell me to stop and interrupt. So I mean, everybody in here is a little older, so think of the Beverly Hillbillies when they show the bubbling crude at the beginning. That's what this thing looks like, except it was water.
It's true. I was going to use the same analogy, so we're pretty smart.
Everybody goes, oh, yeah.
The hypothesis is the fact that if you're familiar with that area, there used to be old cottonwood trees along that fence line. The thought was that at one point the root system used to go underneath there. Those were all cut down. They rotted. All of a sudden it found a weak spot and up. It made sense by the circumference of the hole and where it was coming from. So it's just a thought, but it goes back to the root of what we have as far as a plan that was set up by the Corps and ourselves. At certain levels, we act. We don't throw red flashing lights all the time. We don't want to scare people into it because it's emotional for a lot of people, but it's something that we have to do. And you know, John Bach had went by there at, I think it was 9:30 in the morning. I had just gone there at 6, nothing. 9:30, he was there, and I was out in Hobart, and he sent me the picture, and I didn't get the picture, and he called me, and I didn't answer because I think I was talking to Derek at the Lake Station levee. And he called again. I go, this can't be good. And he sent me another video. So those are things of why we do what we do. If you want to know what action levels we do, they're on our website. You can pull up your segment, pop on it. It shows exactly what levels we work off of. So
stay on that for a second. I mean, as it relates to the temporary fix, is that the temporary fix or is that the permanent fix?
That's the temporary fix. Now the water's down, so of course there's no water coming up. We don't know what there is to be a permanent fix besides monitoring. We had some minor issues in 18, but nothing to the extent of what they estimated was 100 gallons a minute coming out of this boil.
Okay, is that something that has to engage the Army Corps of Engineers, or is that as the local partner is sitting in our lap?
No, we've engaged them. I mean, that's one of the calls that you make. And they sent people out there to make sure that we did what we were supposed to. I think we got a B+ on our design and our fix. It wasn't perfect, but it's something that we will go into the future and look at how to do it better and to see what we're supposed to do. They know that it's out there. They're supposed to give us a report back as to what we're supposed to do. As far as, do we do anything? Do we need to do anything more with this or just monitor in the future? Because it's dirt. Is it going to settle in? Are we going to watch the levee sort of push in on itself? There's clay down there. Besides digging it all up, the gentleman that I spoke with who had experience in 93 with New Orleans said, you know, they had hundreds of them. And there's really, it's just something that you have to just be mindful of. It does happen. And that's why we have the 15-foot setback, and people want to build up on it, which, you know, we still have some people that we need to write love letters to about getting off of it, off the thing. Because, you know, I was told if you dig a fence post, you dig it below the frost line, now you're exposing it. If you get too close to levee, now you're starting to cause some difficulties. So they're aware of it. We're aware of it. We're waiting for the next steps as to what we're supposed to, if anything, but for just to monitor it.
Thank you. I don't feel real good, but thank you.
I don't either, but it's what it is.
All right. Is there more?
I mean, if we want to talk about hard ditch.
Let's talk about
hard ditch.
We have a comedian evidently behind us. So, Natalie, and you're going to love me.
All right, so tell everybody first where hard ditch is and what we're talking about.
I already went to the Lake Station here, so... Hard Ditch is the main artery, I suppose, to Little Cabot River as it runs between Highland and Munster. The area of the project is just north of Ridge Road, right where the Weir is. If you're familiar with Wicker Park Golf Course, that's just about where the project starts. And then it splits in both ways, east and west, as it goes into the Little Cabot River. We built the high-velocity channel, which allows it at a 100-year rain event to have an easier way to get to where it's going as opposed to teeing where the Cabela's is, if everyone's familiar with where Cabela's or the Walmart or whatever it is now. And it flows in both directions. We had talked, and this board had talked, about the possibility back in 18 about one side being higher. We had mentioned it prior, but... there was some concerned residents that had come to the meeting asking to make sure that there's a cutout that is designed to overflow on Hart's Ditch, right? Just off of Hart's Ditch, just to the west, or just to the east, I apologize, to the east of that confluence. And it was assured that, yes, it would work. So that's what it was designed to do. We went, participated in an exercise about overtopping and where it overtop, and It was determined that at that point, for some reason, Wicker Park wasn't filling up as it should for an overflow. And overflows are used for the system to relieve the pressure off the main channel. There's several of them. Riverside Park is one. There's Cabela's is a small one. Wicker Park, the Rookery, Lake Etta, the area between Clark and Chase, all the way down to Grant and Chase. Between Marshalltown and Martin Luther King. We've got Georgia, between Georgia and Martin Luther King. There are several areas where there's the main channel, and then when the main channel becomes so stressed that it flows out and stores acres of feet.
Flow adjustments for those.
Flow adjustments on all of them. So that basically says, hey, we can flood your property on occasion and until the system catches up. It's like a bathtub. I mean, eventually the bathtub will drain, but it'll take some time, and that's what we're sort of creating. And so going back to this, in that demonstration, Wicker Park never filled up. And so they looked at it further. The Army Corps looked at it further, and I certainly am not going to speak for them, but they don't believe necessarily that the Wicker Park overtopping will work as it was originally designed. And we probably should do something to alleviate that so that it works properly. And so, Natalie was given information.
I can't believe this.
Well, I'm just telling you. So we all found out, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And so with that in the back of my mind, dealing with rain last week was a fun experience. So
what are they saying the failure mode is now? That it will actually overtop on the west side into Munster? Because that was a concern from the residents, is that the east side on the park side looked a little bit higher. I mean, it is coming, it's going,
surveys
as it's going north, it's going lower in elevation, so the further north.
I don't know if there'll be a direct impact. Oh, I'll do it. I'll try to screw it up.
But I mean, is that, what the court
keep talking.
Well, there's I don't think there's a direct correlation. You can't. What I'm saying is the fact that area won't fill up, and it should. I don't know if there's a direct. It's going to flood directly over this way or that way. But I'm saying that space that should be utilized isn't going to be utilized.
That's all we know at this point.
That's all anyone knows, I think. I don't know. I mean, Natalie's not going to be able to say that. Right. And her hydraulic department isn't going to say that. All we know is we need to somehow make it work now. See if I can...
But when Mrs. Whitaker came, and this was a whole issue some time ago, and it was told to us that the Corps, and they came and did the whole explanation that it was going to settle and it was going to be okay, and that was part of the design. Now I'm hearing that that's not happening, that's not what's going to occur, and we have the earthen levee on the park side higher than the constructed levee on the residence side.
So,
and are you freaking kidding me?
That's just based on models that they have run. And so here's if I, and I'm sorry it's not tied in, and I apologize for all you folks. That this is Wicker Park here, this big mass of open space. This is our project that starts roughly about, oh, we're going to run into people's names here. It roughly starts here. We built the high velocity channel as it goes this way.
Can you use satellite instead of that?
Huh?
Satellite.
Talk to me. Mm-hmm. World Street.
Zoom in more.
Okay, world image.
Here we go. Look at that. Does that work for you better?
No.
Okay, what would you like to see, Mr. Baker?
A satellite.
Okay, well, I'm on.
Oh, you are.
There you are. Thank you.
Hey, look. You come up here under the
I
pressure.
I see. You got a lot of pressure,
okay?
Too, because, you know.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah,
okay? I'm a
you
little
should
nervous.
Be. You know, four is going to be okay, but Hawthorne isn't.
So you can see. You can see our high velocity channel, that's the grayer area in this area right here, if you can see it. I mean, a lot of pressure. Of course, it's not going to want to do that. We'll just stay with this. High velocity channel here, the cutout in the levee is roughly in that area there.
The cutout is designed to overflow into the park.
Correct.
Lower than the wall.
But the issue where we have the beginning of the is in over there where the cutout is. It's further south down by Ridge Road.
Right. These areas are a foot and a half taller on the Wicker Park side, elevation-wise, than on the resident side.
And those were elevations were set that way during construction by the Corps, and the Corps saying if those were going to settle.
Well, that was the and they some do settle, as you know. Marshalltown settled on us. That's why we're fixing part of Marshalltown. This, however, I'm trying to think when 5-2 was complete. Any 12? So that's what 6-7 years now. 6 years, solid 6 years.
Maybe 10.
That nothing has really settled too much from the time. And so, I mean, that's what we. I mean, you could if you walk down Hawthorne and you were to look over the wall, you can clearly see that it's by your eye. You can see it. But so that's where I'm at right now.
You measure settled by as left during the design and as found now.
I don't know. I didn't compare it to as built. I just have. We shot the elevations a few times. I think we shot them back in 14. I'm still looking for those. We have them from 18, March of 18, where we went out again. And so there's really been really minimal settlement in that area. I don't have inches or...
This is the design. I mean, this is what it was designed this way, right? That's what we were...
It was constructed that way.
Right. It wasn't... It's not a settlement thing. It was designed. That's what we understand.
To these levels, you said.
Right. Yeah, but from what I understand is, over time, whatever that over time period is, there's supposed to be a
settlement decrease over a period of time.
Now, some of you will remember they were on the commission very early. There was a plus minus 1 foot above the design elevation that they could put, you know, topsoil, whatever. So you have that there's the potential, you know, that it was still within the guidelines of the contract. So you would have maybe been down just a half foot difference, but now we're at, by latest survey measurements, it's a foot and a half roughly. And then this runs into earth, and if you're familiar with the Munster area, it's a wall that starts, what's not Fairway, what's the one further, just to the cross street?
Alta Vista,
thank you. Alta Vista is about approximately where the wall starts, and then it goes to just before the turnoff, which is, what is that, Fairway?
Fairway.
So, and then it goes into an earthen levee. So that earthen levee is back up to the level of the other side of the earthen levee. It matches what's on Wicker. It's just the part of the wall where the wall merges in with the earthen levee at Fairway as it goes back to Alta Vista.
So Dan, the Corps is now saying this based on probably some updated hydraulic modeling, but how did it perform in reality this past week? Because as you go north, I mean, the natural elevation is lowering through there.
Well, last week wasn't probably the best test in the world. I mean, it was high, and people were a little bit panicked, but it wasn't. The best one was February, where you could see the difference more. Mm-hmm. It was a much higher crest, I think a foot and a half, 2 feet higher crest than what it was just as previous last week. So you could see a much bigger difference or a proximity to the wall when you were on the levee side of Wicker. When we were driving the levee side of Wicker, we could look at the wall and sort of see that it was about 2 feet.
But in both cases, February and last week, the area that is supposed to overtop never did.
Correct.
Okay, and that's really all we know.
So, correct.
I mean, did the Corps like redo this calc based on the conversation from 2018?
That's correct.
Okay.
It was based off of your guys' conversation with them. They ran a new model, but the model was for overtopping purposes. More of an educational experience for me, or continuing ed for me, to say, Dan, here are the areas that you should be concerned about with overtopping if there's a 13-inch rain event. And we went, you know, I-65 northbound to 94 eastbound. That's an area. Dan, notify NDOT. That's a problem. Well, what became increasingly obvious is that everything in the areas or in the communities were wet, you know, whether it was Hammond, you know, it's a 13-inch mm-hmm. event. It's a pretty substantial event. But the only area that was dry was this, and that's why I asked. I said, is there something in the model? Yeah, I said, is there like a glitch? Is it didn't fill it up, or what's going on? And they confirmed that it wasn't a glitch, and that's how it is. But
so I know sometimes when you do design like this, you do a short-term, super high-intensity mm-hmm. look, and then you do a longer-term, you know, 24-hour, whatever type scenario. Mm-hmm. I mean, a 13-inch rain is a lot of rain. Is that over 24 hours? Is that slightly different than the 200-year plus 3 foot of freeboard?
The only time that this filled up was when there was a pump failure, when they threw in the scenario of a pump failure in Wicker Park, which that wouldn't be, because right now, pumps, they pump it out into Hart's Ditch. Now, there's a point in time where we tell them to cut the pump off, but in the event, you know, you run different scenarios, as you said, it really wouldn't matter at 13. I mean, it's a lot to digest, and I think we sent it to you a couple days ago or so, but it's a lot to digest to see how all the models work. But
yeah, and that's the thing, to try to quote normalize this, because you know your first statement sitting down sounds like they made a big mistake, but is that really what's happening, or did they just run a bunch of different higher intensity, lower, you know,
it's a problem,
shorter duration models that give us, I mean, you could run a million scenarios and come up with problems.
This is higher than this, and this all the people was, how is that a modeling issue?
That's what they said was the design. They said that it was designed that way, right?
Well, we got a whole bunch of issues that we don't actually use and have because it was designed that way. It's not actually things that are utilized in the actual flood control project. So this is just another one.
Well, maybe they designed it for this thing to settle, figuring this thing was going to settle a foot and a half over time.
Big
That's
risk.
Why they built it up. It's happened.
Oh, the earth and levee?
No, maybe they designed the wall thinking that the weight of the wall over time was going to settle. You never know.
I would make it even lower. Anyway.
All right, so what's going to happen? So one of the things are is obviously we just can't go in and fix things because if we don't, all the paperwork that has the necessary component for everybody in here, for those folks not to have to pay mandatory flood insurance, has to go through the proper channels, of which the Army Corps of Engineers is number one. So before and you know, anything can happen, that has to be done. Because if we start going in there and doing construction things a la what we did maybe over on State Line, then all of a sudden it creates problems down the road, which I don't see us going down that path. We're going to do some emergency things if we ever get one of these 13-inch rains. But I guess the next question is, what's the path to get a solution to this so I can have some lowering of my blood pressure, please?
I mean, what was suggested, and Natalie, I think you were copied on the email, there were some suggestions from the hydraulic department as things that we could do.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to take you off the hook, and I'm going to go to the lady over here.
Hey,
Ms. Mills, nice to see you again from the Army Corps of Engineers.
I'll be over here if anyone needs me.
Can you help me with this? I mean,
yes.
Really? Okay.
I know. I understand. So what we are going to planning to do is look at the modeling again. Look at the model that was designed, that we used for the original design. Compare that to the modeling now, use the recent flood events, and see what happened. Again, we talked about that we thought that there would be some settlement, and it's not performing like we thought it would do. So I've asked our attorney, if this is a design deficiency, the project is still open, is there anything that we can do on our side? Otherwise, like you mentioned, you would have to go forward with the Section 408, which is an alteration to the federal project. So we're planning to look at, like I said, the modeling. That's going to be around the June timeframe when we'll get the results. And so we'll be further along to be able to make some decisions on the Corps side at that time. But if you guys wanted to do something immediately, you're correct that you would have to do a Section 408. I would recommend waiting until we get the model results before we take any kind of action, just to see how the overflow is going to be interacting, the overflow locations, how it's going to interact during different flood events. So, I mean, I would recommend waiting for those results before you all take any kind of action.
Just to Natalie's point, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm sending them pictures of the last two events so they can, and I talked to Rick, and I don't know if you even know this, I talked to Rick on our inspections, and we took plenty of pictures for the 18 event and for this last one of the diverter, of a lot of different areas of the height, so they're going to compare those pictures and the time frame to the model that they're going to rerun. So those pictures are on their way over to see him. So just added information. So sometimes models are They're
never exact.
So that's why they're trying to get the pictures to see if it coincides with it, because we take a lot of pictures during events like this for our own sake so that we know how it reacts. I'm done now.
So we get more paperwork and more modeling that may or may not be correct. Then what? We still got a wall protecting a golf course that's higher than the wall protecting a bunch of houses that were under 8 feet of river water during that event.
Right, so then we can see if there is a design deficiency. That's what we're trying to confirm. And then we'll, again, I spoke with our attorney, is there something that we can do? The project hasn't been closed out. Can we take some kind of action? And so it sounds like we could, and so I'm just trying to get all those ducks in a row so I can properly give you guys an update as to what is next. Could we actually design and construct an overflow notch within this area? So those are the questions that I have to get answered and bring back to you.
And when do you think the modeling and those results, temporary results, would be able to be reported back to us, June or July?
June is when they're done, so I guess I can probably the July meeting. But I mean, I'm sure Dan will get the information prior to that. When, sure. Whenever it's finished, we'd be sharing that information with Dan right away.
Thank you.
Yeah, we need to go ahead.
If we elected to raise the height of the wall on the west side that's currently lower than the Wicker Park side, would we need a 408 for that?
On your own, yes. So you just need approval. Any alteration to the federal project you need, if you want to put an apartment, you got to get a 408. So, yes.
So, Mr. Reapy, I feel like this needs to be like a little sub-project with some very definitive marker points so that we can get through this before, and just in a timely manner. I mean, there's a lot of different actions that we could take. Maybe some of them aren't warranted, maybe too soon, but I don't think we want to go through, like, you know, I'm looking at Ms. Olno sitting out there, 2015, 2016, where it's a year from now and we're still waiting on some updated drawing or some updated model. We can't go through it. We need to get this resolved and know where we're
going. You've seen this movie. You know exactly how it's going
to
go.
I'm saying today, we need to put some markers on paper and say this
doesn't
is where
matter.
We're headed.
We could write a real stern letter. Big deal. We're going to go through the process. Get the red tape thing back out because this is what's going to happen.
I have a question for Snap. Natalie, could you possibly tell us how long this process could take? I mean, we heard from everybody here, but can you tell us what would be the quickest route that we can take to get this matter resolved?
Depends on the route that we take. Okay. So,
can you advise us to take the quickest route?
It's not us, it's them.
Right. No. We have to hear from her.
The fastest thing for us right now is the modeling, which I know we said it would be in June. At that time, then we have to figure out what is the avenue that we can take, and whether that's designing a project. I mean, and you know, designing a project and awarding a contract, that takes time.
Can we do it like in 3 months?
No.
Can you give me maybe any kind of a month?
To design and award a contract in 3 months? No, that's not.
Well, just give me an idea. Just give me an idea. How long will it take us?
Designing a project typically takes 6 to 9 months. I'm just being.
That's my anticipation, right? Because there's a couple other things associated with this. Is that while we're modeling Hart Ditch doing the 9 million different things that it could do, mm-hmm. what's the impact on other inlets or outflows, right? I mean, I don't want to redesign this whole thing all over again, but we sure as heck don't want to, you know, have another issue somewhere else that we forgot about. Or mm-hmm. I mean, it's never going to perform exactly like the model. We got to figure out, you know, likelihoods, and we need the information so that we can make decisions, right? You know, how much risk are we taking if we do this versus that? That's what we have to know. I mean, am I nuts?
No, I mean, I agree. There's no way to make a decision if you don't.
No, you got to do the work, I get it.
Right, exactly.
But I don't want to redesign this whole thing. I mean, we don't want to spend another $200 million, but we don't want to have a miss every 2 years. It's never gonna function exactly like the model predicts.
Sure.
But we can't have failures. And that looked like a failure because we got a wall on the resident side that's lower, and the residents said, hey, we're scared. Mm-hmm. And Bill Rochford came in here and said, it's designed that way. And here's what's going to happen. So that here's why we are where we are. All right. Now I'm done.
Okay. Anything else for Ms. Mills on this very scary subject?
Yes, I have a couple more questions. If we design it and we take it to the Army Corps of Engineers and we push it, with our political representatives, would that help the process go along for within 6 months?
If you design it for us to construct?
Yes.
So we still have to prepare. I mean, we'll have to take your design and we've got to put it in our format anyway.
Okay. So if we design it and we construct, would that be okay?
Because so then that goes into the 408, so you just would need approval to do that.
Okay. See, I'm trying to find out how can we get around that federal bureaucracy.
So the 408 is a shorter process.
Oh, he's an
It's a baseball game.
I know. They're
bases.
I'm dealing with
when to run.
I'm dealing with a federal contract. I don't know what's going on. Nanny, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just worried about all those poor people over there that are getting flooded, and I see it. And matter of fact, I've even seen Gleason Park flooded, Harrison Park, just recently, last week.
Sure.
It's just bad. And I hope we can find a way to relieve
parks are supposed to flood, David.
That's the point.
There's a couple of houses that's teetering on the brink, as far as I understand, on the bank that may be falling in. And that's a major concern for us. And I know it's a concern for you. I mean, I'll drop it from there, but I will pursue it.
We put the blocks down State Line Avenue
in
anticipation of that, and we got fought every which way but Sunday to do that.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening?
Yeah.
The blocks stayed there, and they added another foot on top.
Okay.
But it took a long time.
It took a long time.
All right, Ms. Mills, what else? I mean, sure, there's other good things that are happening.
You guys are throwing my whole notes off. So the levee repair work in at Munster, that emergency repair, is moving forward. Looking to award at the end of this month. So we'll be sending a right of entry to Dan to get some signatures so we can... move forward with.
How did that perform over this event?
It wasn't impacted. We watched it. We were watching for it, but it never got up high enough on the wall in that location to cause it.
So water didn't rise up at that location to the level of the wall.
To where it wasn't favorable, and it didn't cause it to bubble under. But we were watching for it. So
does that give you a better idea of where the system may have a weak link? It didn't have a problem at 595, and it had a problem in 596. Does it mean it's within that?
Yeah, we felt like it was about a foot. It's about a foot to go before it would have impacted it, based on the crest in February of 18, as opposed to May of 19.
But you also said in this event we had the thing at Wicker Park where we
Right, there was
oil. That could have taken a lot of pressure off it. So you just too complicated, too many variables. You don't know if this one to one directly caused that.
So we had an idea of what we were trying to look for as far as the height that we thought that would impact it. It didn't reach it, of course, and we're thankful for that. But the short answer is it didn't show itself.
And I know I've been behind because I haven't been here. What's the solution at the emergency? What are we actually doing there?
So we're joint sealing in the 1,000-foot section.
1,000-foot section?
Yeah.
Joint sealing? That's caulking,
basically. Yeah.
Really good.
Right? I mean, pretty effective.
That's what's
there now, right? Just kind of redoing it.
Gorilla glue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Redoing it, taking the top off. And I can send you the plans if you want to see.
Okay.
Dan.
Right, it's just what it is.
Yeah, and so that contract is actually being combined with, when you see it, it's Katie Marsh Ditch, we're combining it, going to do some trash wrecks. Same situation, the same event. They had a situation there too, so just so your awareness is how it's packaged as one in one project.
Is that slowing things down, or is it making it more financially viable or something? Because, I mean, anybody could caulk it.
I mean, I think we'll expect to get some savings by just having one contractor to do both and faster.
Who's your selected contractor?
We haven't sent them.
You said in a month.
Yeah.
Does the repairs go from the old Hammond Clinic? Does it go east all the way and impact the homeowners around the corner right there? Does it go that far to the east?
It should.
Yeah.
I mean, where we identified it was at about where the end of the parking lot for Munster Med Ed is, if you can get an idea. If it was between the sanitary station Hammond has on the corner of Calumet and the river, going east past to about the 1,000 block of River Drive, behind about seven or so houses.
Thank you.
The plan's already done, right? If you're getting ready to order, so we should be able to get access to those.
I'm not sure if I sent it out. I'll send it if I have it.
The plans?
Yeah.
The plans are on the team drive.
I was going to say, are they probably going to get through yet?
Okay.
All right. What about the medication and all that other cool stuff?
That's going along quite well. We got lucky with those contractors that they're really doing a good job out there. For in-project mitigation, they've been just doing some minor cleanup and some seeding last month. And this month, they're just waiting for the site to green up to they start the invasive species management. That work will begin. So on this part, this feature, there were some beavers that built up some dams. Dan has offered to have
them relocated.
Yes.
What was your quote in the newspaper? Really?
Oh,
okay. Oh yeah, we're not going there. I'm sorry, I brought it up.
Damn.
I do some well.
Okay, so that's happening. Thanks, Dan. And so once that's done, they'll be able to go back and finish their seeding in that area, so that because they aren't able to access the
area. And we were gonna do it the week of the large rain, but actually those areas got filled with water because it was storing itself there. So we'll come back when it drains a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. And then for Hobart. Last 2 weeks, they just did clearing, herbicide, and seeding. So it's just progressing. They're still on target for 2022 and 2023 for completion.
Okay. Any other questions for Mrs. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, moving right along. Other issues, new business.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement with the City of Hobart in the amount of $75,000 for an aquatic weed control program on Lake George.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Repay, real quick. This goes back a while.
It goes back to when we met in Hobart last year sometime, where they developed a place or a method that they felt comfortable with as opposed to dredging, where they could put the bacterial, my words, into the water. It would eat the sediment and any materials, vegetation down below, and they hope to gain some space out of that. They've had some success in other places. They've asked us to participate to the tune of $75,000.
And this interlocal agreement, again, for everybody out there, Deep River is the east side, the primary feed into the Little Cal, just like the Heart Dish that we've been talking about is the primary feed from the west side of the watershed. So is there any discussion as it relates to helping the City of Hobart on working on this interesting environmental process? Be there or not, Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brunnett?
Yes.
Derek Dennis?
Yes.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Richard?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve Patrick Engineering Change Order Number 1 in the amount of $167,000 for the Lake Station Levee Project.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, change orders.
Yeah, I know you love those, but I made sure when we went and was asked, my phrase is rip the Band-Aid off once so we could just get this all done and make sure that we don't nickel and dime here. But this is the Lake Station Levee, as I mentioned. It was just a scoping issue where we thought initially it was near 100 acres. It's now over 500 acres, and the drainage as it was presented to us by Lake Station wasn't necessarily how it turned out to be. So in order for us to properly do this to make sure that the folks that live on landside don't get flooded by their own water, that they can't make it to the river, that's what this is going to do. Add some surveying, add some borings and to make sure that what the soil is, and actually to actually confirm and do the sewer monitoring and the capacity so that we know what we're really designing for. And then at the end of the day, we're going to make decisions, or you're going to make the decision as to what you would like to build out there.
So this is still in the engineering phase, is trying to set a scope of work of building a new levee and lake station, which is at the bottom of the whole deep river feed into the Little Cow.
Correct. So we can hopefully have it up for construction for the year 2020, barring any other emergencies that come up in front of this board.
Thank you. Any questions on this one?
We have an estimated time frame on how long it might take to actually execute.
I believe it's November still as their completion before they'll have the plans done.
They asked for an extension of time, I believe, 85 days.
I think it was supposed to be fall, now it's November, so carry it.
Okay.
Am I all right with that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Suzuki.
Yes.
Tom Bezzetti.
Yes.
Anthony Barnett.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Lamont Whitaker.
Yes.
Morgan Baker.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a contract with Panzer Corporation in the amount of $31,000 for scraping and painting of stems in the Gary North, Gary South, Burr Street, and Marshall Town segments.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Ipe.
We have, I believe it's 43 different stems out there. It's basically the gearboxes and the surrounding components of it. Over the time, since some of those areas have been built, it's been 20 years of outside deterioration. And it's something that we get commented on during our inspection. We try to make those ongoing maintenance like we do for our houses every year. And this year, you know, we're doing the crack seal in Gary North and Gary South, and now we're adding this as well. So it's just something to help, I guess, keep our house in order. It's something that needs to be done and hopefully make it continue to work the way it's supposed to function.
Is this a stem as a part of a pump station? Give me an idea what this is.
There's a gearbox. You see them, any gate we have, there's a gear section. Uh-huh. We drill it in. The stem is up, which is the actual device that, uh-huh, that runs the gate up and down.
So we're not worrying that they work. We're worrying about whether they're painted or not.
Painted and not going to deteriorate or rust through or not function when we need to make them function. We are already having Grimmer run them up and down and make sure that they're working, make sure that the culverts are all clean. So this is just a component of that.
Thank you. Any other questions on this one? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schlusky.
Yes.
Tom Bezzetti.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave
Castellano. Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, ma'am. All right, moving right along. Statements to the board from the floor, my favorite part. If you'd like to help us address some of these very interesting issues, please come up to the podium, state your name and address, and please help.
Good evening, gentlemen. Eric Sprenna, Highland, Indiana, recreational advocate.
That's a new title, isn't it?
Well, that sort of combined...
I mean, you keep going every month, you got a new thing.
No, I've combined paddling and bicycling.
I like it. Recreational advocate.
Well, we need to remind you guys that recreation is a component of this project, right?
We know.
Okay.
I like it, though.
In regards to the railroad bridge reconstruction over Deep River, I have made a request before, and hopefully it's considered, that once they get done digging out the old bridge and we have a new wider channel, that the bottom of the channel is graded so as to allow small boats passage even in low water conditions. With the old bridge there's always been concrete rubble passage has been an issue, and now when it's even wider, I'm afraid that if it's graded totally flat, there may be 3 inches of water, which won't allow passage of a boat, which is important given the fact that there's an ADA launch facility right above the railroad bridge, and there's one downstream in Lake Station as well. So the bottom of the bridge opening should be graded flat, except for maybe one little dip that allows 4, 5, 6 inches of water for small boat passage. And hopefully that can be done before May 23rd.
Duly noted.
Okay, that was item number one. Item number two, I'm happy to see that the pedestrian bridge is going in at Chase Street, which has been a long time coming, and that'll be great. Mr. Ripe mentioned that there's additional work to be done. It looks like that new bridge is going in where the road is or was, instead of along the old pathway for the old bicycle trail. But if that old bike trail is going to be used, that needs to be torn out completely because there's tree roots growing up through it. Hopefully that's in consideration also. One other thing, too, from a paddling perspective, every time you guys do a project somewhere near the river, maybe you could give consideration to putting in a formal paddling access site. That's one thing that this river has been lacking ever since the project began, and again, I'll put on my recreation hat and say, yeah, please consider paddling as a valid use of the river. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi there. We're Zolno, Forest Avenue in Hammond. I'd like to say this last rain event, I was personally very happy. Things appeared to perform as they should have. The Frisbee Park in Munster flooded, which it's designed to do. It did not go. The spill did not go over the spillway into the detention pond that sits just to the west of the state line. That stayed dry except for accumulation of falling rain. So I am very happy. It still required many trips up and down the river. We still went up every morning and every evening, home at lunch and watching the gauges, which functioned very well. I would like to remind everybody that the secondary flood insurance is something you should consider.
Yes.
Flood insurance was about $2,500 at my house. I just got the bill now for the secondary. It's $534. We still live near a river. We still have the opportunity for a failure or a catastrophic event. I mean, it could, again, 13 inches of rain, it's got to go somewhere. I sat and listened to the folks about the Hart's Ditch issue. I remember going in February of 18 during that event. I also took pictures. And I'm very sorry for them that the emergency repair from February of 18 may get done in June or July of 19. I understand that if we pass levee inspection, that the Army Corps is then essentially an insurance company that will cover a problem. Might I suggest that if this portion of the levee has been passing inspection, that the problem is truly theirs under the inspection rule. If it's deficient, it didn't settle a foot and a half, it sounds like it would be their responsibility, and it shouldn't come back on this commission financially. And I would hope that it would move more quickly than the emergency repair would, but I'm not. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
John Beckman, 243 Detroit Street. Comment and then a question. Instead of thinking of a 100-year flood as only a 1% chance for a flood, over the course of about 30 years, it's about a 26% chance of having a flood. So that's without changing all of the mechanics, that's the new way that they're now starting to explain the 100-year flood, etc. So I just wanted to get an update on how well the meeting went with Will County on Longwood Golf Course.
What meeting?
Well, there was last month the discussion, a meeting would be planned, and I assumed it had happened.
No. Well, we had an event over the between the two times, so the meeting hasn't yet occurred.
Okay. Thank you.
To my knowledge, is that true?
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for you.
You saved me.
Okay. Thank you. Not losing sight of that, John.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right. Bringing it back up here for commentary. Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you. I just want to let folks know that the last rain that happened really put a hamper onto WLTA's radio program. It was out of operation for almost 6 days. And it's a major problem. We've got a lot of complaints from a lot of candidates and people who paid for advertisements and a lot of candidates on that particular program. Worse than that, you know, it's an issue for emergency to notify the public of any kind of emergencies going on within the county. And that's affected about between 70 to almost 100,000 people. So we definitely have to start looking forward to trying to take care of that particular situation of flooding that particular area. Now, I do have something here. I just got this recently. This is a flow easement that was given to me. It was dated July 2018 with the Army Corps of Engineers. And Natalie, we would like to get together with you and the Army Corps of Engineers to see how we can alleviate this particular problem. Because according to these particular individuals who were involved in the suit, they said that from the last meeting I had with them, that this problem occurred because of a levee project that was done either in Hammond or Munster or some of the other places that created this problem for Gary. And they feel that Gary is being treated as a stepchild, and we need to get
this matter. Who's saying that?
That's individuals I'm talking to from WLTH Radio. Now, I can go over the people's names in the room, but I'll do that in the executive session. But the question I'm trying to get to is that this is a problem that we have to alleviate because it affects so many people, 70 to over 100,000 people, and that's it. Now, on another note, now that's just that, and I'll talk to you about that later. On another note, I'd like to stress the fact that I was really surprised at the number of people that really listens to the radios as we do. I was invited to a church about 2 weeks ago, First Baptist Church, and they asked me to get up and state my name, you know, who I was and what did I do. And I let them know where I live and that I was a member of the Little Calumet Basin Authority. And a number of people came up to me and says, you know, Dave, Mr. Castellanos, we really listen to that program. We really like to hear about all the good programs, things that the commission has done. We never hear about what's going on with that, and we like to hear more. And also, I went to another church, St. Mary of the Lakes, which is in Miller, and I got the same response from black and white and Latino people who do listen to that particular program, and they're interested to see what's going on within the community. Now, on another note, on a good note, we're going to, instead of talking about what we're doing as far as alleviating flooding, there is a great recreational aspect to the Little Calumet River that, as Mr. Spender, Eric Spender, spoke about. And next Monday, we're going to have Sandy O'Brien and Eric Spender come onto our show to talk about the recreational aspects of Little Calumet River. Because it is if you really look at it, you can never tell about the number of species and animals that live within that people are interested in seeing. I've even spoke to members of the school board and from the school, and they're interested in looking and seeing if they can have groups to come and view the river and even take a paddle boat down there to enjoy that. So we're looking forward to that. So I just want to let you know, so if everybody gets a chance, please listen to WLTH on Monday the 13th at 9 o'clock. That's when me and Mr. Impresario Dan Repay will be on the program with Sandy O'Brien and Eric Sprinter Those two individuals do a lot for this particular community and for Hulukei Met, and I think it'd be great to hear another aspect as far as the flooding and recreational attitude. I end this to say, Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Mr. Nimitz.
Just want to thank everybody for coming out to tonight's meeting. I really do appreciate the comments and statements from the floor. Thank you. Have a good night.
Rod, next.
Quick question for Ms. Mills related to the contract that's upcoming. We have been talking a lot about minority contractors. When you let that contract, does the Corps have a requirement to at least solicit minority participation in its contracts?
So smaller businesses don't have the same minority requirements as the larger businesses.
Oh, this would be a small, okay, so that makes sense. And then I echo Commissioner Nimitz's comments. Appreciate the interest, continued interest in this $275 million and growing asset that we have. Thank you.
Mr. Gostecki.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. It's always good to hear feedback from, you know, everybody that we're trying to serve. I'd like to congratulate Dan Repay for, seems like nobody recognizes the fact all we get is criticized, or at least it appears that we're criticized. But for the first time in the history of the project, the last 2 years, we've maintained the system in such a fact or a state that we get certification of and provide protection for everybody with a certified levy. Are we perfect? No, but that's the first time it's ever happened, and Dan and this commission has made it happen, and I wish that we would get a little bit of credit for it instead of getting criticized at every turn.
That it?
That's it.
All right. Mr. Wyszynski.
I want to thank all our partners during the Array event of last week. I think everybody stepped up to the task. And there are eyes and ears out there, and that's very important for us because Dan can't be everywhere and do everything. So just compliment everybody and just keep moving this thing along the way it should. Thanks.
Mr. Whitaker.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. I too want to compliment Dan. It's one of the things that I really observed, and I wanted to wait till the meeting, not because I wanted to see if anything went wrong, but I wanted to make it public.
Okay.
So I wanted to make it public that, you know, from a storage standpoint, I live in Gary, and I see a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of the impact from the past. And Dan, maybe you were going to say, but I meant to ask you earlier, at Harrison Street, will that eliminate the need for bags? Okay. All right, Dan.
Yeah,
I know that's why we're doing it. I just was making sure that it eliminates completely. Okay. Definitely kudos. And it's important that we hear the information back from the community. I think the transparency and the communication are really the keys to this, because you cannot be every place at one time. It's just essentially impossible. So it takes a lot of wherewithal and a lot of communication, a lot of open lines in order to be able to accomplish what has recently been accomplished. So not limited to Dan, but you know, even the Army Corps gets a little credit as well. With that in mind, with the WLTH tower, I think that is prudent on our part from a communication standpoint that we revisit that. We talked about it at some point, but you can't have 70 to 100,000 people for whatever the reasons are, whether it's something that was incumbent upon WLTH or whether it was something that was incumbent upon us as a commission. But we can't have a situation where in flood control, where you have 70 to 100,000 people that are absent of information that they, you know, could be solely relying upon. And I think it's something that we need to move to the top of our priorities, because as John pointed out, those numbers are changing over time. I don't know if I convinced the 26%, but certainly there, you know, the 1% chance that we have with the 100% with the 100-year flood control mandate that we are under, we need to make sure there is as much communication as possible. The last thing that I have is compliance. I brought it up in the past, and I don't know where we are with it. I'd like to know, you know, before we award contracts to same vendors, have those vendors been compliant in the past? And so, does anyone have an answer to that particular question, Mr. Chair or Attorney or
David?
I think it's working. The commission was provided by me, I believe, a couple of months ago, some information in that vein. I think that when you talk about compliance, you're talking about checking up and following up on whether or not the contractors have followed their minority pledge, if you will. I passed out information that Ron Ware gave me. I passed out information from
into the mic, David.
The South Shore Railroad, the RDA. So it's just a matter of, I think, all of the commissioners taking a look at that information and giving me some direction.
Okay. I just think that it's required on our part that if we don't require and have a history of whether or not compliance has been met, that we're re-awarding, that we're re-emphasizing, that we're reinforcing the problem. And I don't think that we want to be in the business of reinforcing a problem. And we know that economically speaking, the number of children in the community that I live in exceeds 75% that are on free and or reduced lunch. And you could have people there that are qualified, that are capable of being able to participate on some of these employment projects. And so, from a volume standpoint, because we don't pay into the Little Calumet based on value of our homes, you may have a point in terms of where you decide to do business and who participates in. But it's a volume standpoint, and everybody gives into it to help make it happen. It's a public project, essentially. So we need to make sure that we are doing our due diligence to make sure that the minority participation compliance is a priority as well. And that's all I had, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ware.
I'd just like to echo Chairman Whitaker, Commissioner Whitaker's statement about the audience and the members of the communities that come here to the meetings and have the courage to step up to the microphone over there and ask questions. It brought a lot of awareness from the February of 18 incident or high water event about Hart Ditch that we were just kind of informed about here earlier. So that's, you know, the input from the audience members, the people in our communities, is taken here and is greatly appreciated. Again, like we said earlier, wish all the mothers in the audience here a great Mother's Day. So, thank you.
Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert. All right, next meeting is Wednesday the 12th. Check the website as far as location is concerned. We're going to talk about taking the show on the road, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Giddy up. Thank you for coming out. Happy spring.